This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Monday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are live in West Palm Beach for Astros Spring Training 2025. 2 years after being here in the aftermath of a World Series championship, Seth, we are here in much with an Astros team that feels a whole lot different, but this is going to be an exciting week here, man.
You know what? It really hit me yesterday. Is you guys got here like 8 hours before I did. I was very jealous. I was stuck in a long layover.
I feel like this is a thing, though, now, because you showed up a little later at the Super Bowl, too. I feel like you get to make a grand entrance when you come to these
things. To make a grand entrance.
You get an ovation when you walk in.
It's nice. And you guys are all kind of like, oh, finally, it's a trip.
In a good way.
Yeah, and I can trust you guys that you're not going to screw me with the worst living quarters. So that's always real. I got the best living quarters, I think.
Yeah, you did good.
A king-size bed. So we're in West Palm Beach. And that's what hit me, though, is the prospect of all these young guys and actually caring about the young guys much more than I have in forever, really, since the days of trying to talk myself into the future. You remember back when they were racking up AAA championships back in 2013 and 2014?
I do, yeah.
I guess. I don't know. They're going to keep Springer down in the minors until he's 48. So I'm excited in a way that I haven't been in a long time, but also a little bit nervous because you're going to have to potentially rely on some of these.
Yeah.
These DiCenzos, these Bryce Matthews, these guys that haven't actually shown that they can hit major league pitching.
Cam Smith?
Yeah. Cam Smith I'm extremely excited about. And then John Singleton. You always hear, this guy's in the best shape of his life. And, you know, Bregman for a couple years would say he gained 25 pounds or lost 25 pounds.
Right.
And you're like, this is lying fraud. I hope he goes off to Boston. I'm sick of him.
Sure enough.
John Singleton shows up, and my God, he is built. He lost 25 pounds, and it looks like he lost 25 pounds.
Dude, it looked like you went to Gemini or ChatGPT. Like, what would John Singleton look like? ChatGPT, show me John Singleton if he got on Pilates in a big time weight training program. And show me John Singleton if he stopped eating carbs and bench press 400 pounds.
He looks really good. He said he's been working out 3 to 4 hours per day in the off season. The only thing I always worry about when guys cut out carbs and that's how they got lean, because usually what happens as an athlete is it feels great in your off season when everything's normal and stable. You can get by on very few carbs or lower carbs. But then you start to get tested as your body gets worn down, mm-hmm. and you got to tweak it a little bit. But the dietitians and everything for the Astros, I'm sure, will handle that fine.
I wonder with John Singleton if it's one of those things like, I mean, he's in his 30s now, you know what I mean? And he's been beyond and back when it comes to his career. You know, like he has seen the seventh circle of baseball hell,
right.
You know what I mean, and come back. And I always wonder with something like that, like, you got to be very forward looking. You know what I mean? Like if I'm John Singleton, there would be a big part of me, just me as an outsider looking in. I'm like, man, I wish he did this like 8 years ago. You know, 10 years ago.
Right.
What kind of turn would his better late than never?
Right.
Don't get me wrong, but like, what kind of turn would his career have taken if the light went on back in 2015 instead of 2025?
You can't think about that. You just got to move forward, Sean.
He can't.
No. And look, they got a Gold Glover at first base now. He's going to be able to just focus on being a pinch hitter, a lefty pinch hitter. Yeah. And last year was the first year he spent an entire season in Major League Baseball
at the age
of 32.
Yeah.
So with him looking the way he does, I'm allowing myself to get excited about a different version of John Singleton.
For sure. I like John Singleton. Yeah. There's nothing not to like. But yeah, he's come back in amazing shape. Okay, so we get the little Nolan Arenado sauce this week, possibly. So
the Nolan Arenado, and I had to be reminded of just how sweet the deal was that the Astros were going to get if Arenado hadn't invoked his no-trade clause earlier. So the Astros pretty much had a deal to get Arenado in which they would be paying $15 to $20 million of his salary.
What it would have wound up for the Astros would have been 3 years, $45 million.
Yeah.
For Nolan Arenado.
Yeah, yeah, because
that's better than 3 years, $120 million that the Red Sox are paying Bregman. I don't need a calculator.
The Rockies are already paying $10 million of his salary.
Yep.
Then the Cardinals would say, hey, we'll take another
chip some in
$15 or $20 million off, and you'd end up having a really nice deal with 3 years of him at that price. And I don't know, when Arenado invoked the no trade the first time around, that was before the Astros had made the deal official.
It was right after the Kyle Tucker trade.
It was right after.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so there was concern that he would be
approving
a trade to a rebuilding
team. Yeah. Now they've made some moves since then that maybe feels a little bit differently.
Well,
about
signing Walker's a big one.
Yeah.
You know, you're spending $60 million on Christian Walker. That kind of sends a message that you're still trying to compete.
We're not hitting the reset button.
That's right.
Here.
That's right. So maybe we get that this week. Chandler Rome of The Athletic, the article he had on it was not nearly as positive that this could happen as maybe the initial reports were, that the trade talks have been that the Astros have re-engaged with the Cardinals. It doesn't matter how much they re-engage with the Cardinals. It's all on Arenado.
Yeah.
He's got all the power in this situation. So multiple sources, according to Chandler Rome, said that no deal is gaining traction, nor has Arenado's thought process changed for now about approving a trade to the Astros. The thing may be, though, like, the Cardinals are a rebuilding team. He doesn't want to be there, I don't think.
Like, yeah, he might have been holding out for something better, but it's like, this might be the best thing that,
if he wants to compete.
Right, right.
Yeah.
If the Dodgers or the Yankees or somebody isn't actually going after him, then okay, can you slum it with us for a little bit, Arenado?
Yeah, 3 years, man.
It's the Houston freaking Astros.
Absolutely.
I hope he didn't get wind of me calling him Areola all these years. I'd feel awful if that was the actual.
I was wondering in the rundown if that was an autocorrect or
Well, it does now autocorrect because it knows that's what I want to type. That was it used to try to spell check my Arenado, and then it realized, no, he's trying to spell Areola.
He's trying to type Areola.
Yeah.
That's funny. So we'll see what happens with that. I would be curious what exactly the Astros would be giving up in that deal. You know, this is the opposite of the Tucker deal. You know, this is Tucker deal. You're sending a guy out, or you're sending the big piece out, and you're getting smaller pieces, or you know, future pieces, I guess, in terms of Cam Smith back in return. This would be a deal where you're getting the most noteworthy piece in the deal. I wonder what level the assets are that would need to go out to get Arenado here. I don't think it would be tippy top prospects, but who knows? You know, who knows? We'll see. So we will hopefully be at a game today. For those who haven't been checking the weather down here, it's a little rainy down here today.
It's a steady little drizzle.
I'm hoping Mother Nature lets up on this whole thing.
I went to take a walk to Chick-fil-A early this morning. Google Maps told me they opened up at 6, and it turns out they opened up at 6:30.
Yeah, we're on Eastern time for those. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, don't worry, everybody. I wasn't actually in the future at the time. So it was, but mostly I did it. I wanted to get my exercise, but also I wanted to be sure I did my business in a different facility than this one, since we all share a bathroom.
Really?
Yeah. I walked in the rain for you, Sean.
You did?
Yeah.
You went somewhere else to go do your business.
It was a long day of travel, and my everything was kind of Everything was a little different than usual. I don't want to get too graphic. This might be epic. I got to get the hell out of here.
I know where you're going with
it. So I walked in the rain. I'm like, no, I can't do it. Can't do it at the Airbnb.
That's a sacrifice,
I can't let the guys down.
Hey, we're not doing roommate rankings again at this one. There's only four of us, all right?
Well, I will be in my head.
You are. Yeah. You are in first place right now.
And then the other thing that does, when we come to spring training, our boss, Parker Hillis, not Peyton Hillis, but Parker Hillis,
right. He
is also our sound engineer. And he sits. It's kind of like when you're in high school and the assistant principal comes in to observe the class, and you can tell that your teacher's a little bit nervous.
You got to have a good show.
That's how I am. I'm a little bit nervous. I don't want him to see how much I jack around while I'm doing a show.
Well,
he's going to figure it out at some point.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not paying attention at all.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry.
I always suspected, but my God.
Oh, my God. That's funny. I got my $297 check today, by the way. This week is off to a great start.
From your Texas unclaimed property division?
My unclaimed property. My four unclaimed accounts that I had $297. It's real, people. For those who listened to us talk about this last week, there is a check waiting for me at home. Well, for now, it's waiting for me at home.
Yeah.
Amy probably does a pretty good signature of mine on the back of the check or whatever. But, yeah, man, it's real. I got $297.10 waiting for me at home. This is going to be the greatest week ever.
Yeah.
Astros spring training and an extra three bills waiting for me at home.
Yeah, people at home, just Google Texas unclaimed property. And be sure you go to one of the .gov sites. Don't go to there's all these little leechy sites that act like we'll do it for you and charge you 40%. Yeah.
Fakies, yeah.
And you've got old refunds or rebates and stuff that's just sitting out there, floating out there.
Yeah, man.
Sean had all these brokerage accounts back from when he used to try to, you know, play a little three-cup Monte
game. Arbitrage.
Hide it from the
they
government.
Were.
It's hard to keep it all straight.
Two of them were life insurance policies. I'm like, there's something about this. It just feels, you know, like, yeah.
I was worried, like, you didn't, it was like a term life insurance.
It was like whole life where it accrues cash value or whatever, and I guess I still had a little bit left over. Trust me, I emptied all my cash coffers to get into the radio business, so there was still 177 left over somewhere.
I want my one little treasure hunt after my dad died. In his last practical joke he played on the world was making me the executor. I think he did it as a. He knows how. Of all my siblings, he had a lot of kids. I'm by far the least organized. But anyway, I had to go searching for old life insurance policies. At which point I realized, wow, Dad. Never thought about buying life insurance?
He never did.
No, he did. He had a couple, but they were
practical
they were
joke on you or on everybody else?
Practical joke on the world.
On everybody.
He was kind of a practical joke on
the
world type of guy.
That's funny. All right, so we're off and running. We are live in West Palm Beach. Top of the hour, Seth's got his, I like this. This would be a good way to frame spring training. Three things we're amped up about, three things intrigued by, and then three things depressed by. This will be an all-encompassing Astros spring training preview that we'll get to at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock. We've got headlines coming up a little bit later on this hour. Combine is this week as well. We got to get into that. We'll do that. In fact, we'll do that next. Who are we watching closest at the Combine? And both names and position groups in Indianapolis. This is an important offseason for the Texans. The shopping begins in Indy this week. Live from West Palm Beach, and big thanks again to Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors for sending us here. We're gonna have an immersive experience for you guys all week long, weather permitting today, but we got you covered all week long here, live at spring training on Sports Radio 610. Stay there.
Sports Radio 610 presents Live from West Palm Beach. Thanks to Academy Sports and Outdoors and Exclusive Furniture. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you live from West Palm Beach. Woo. Thanks to Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors. We're still on the YouTube and the Twitch. Hello, everybody. How are we doing?
It's real. This is a really nice house. Our boss, Parker, he's put a lot of pressure on himself.
He's outdone himself.
He's really good at finding good Airbnbs. Because it's not like we're in a mansion or anything. It's just a really nice house that's the perfect size for us. But it's on the water, and it's on a lake. On a string of lakes here, Sean.
Yep.
I could take that paddleboard all over this land.
You do that,
And then
I'll let you go battle the alligators on the warning sign out there.
We've got a pool, and we've got an awesome living room and everything. This is really nice.
It is.
It's going to be a fun week.
And we have four, like, man cave seats right there, like recliners with the drink holders and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm not moving.
We might have to call up all of our acquaintances in South Florida and have them all over. I'll get my accountants down here, a couple of my friends from high school.
Let's invite some accountants over.
Drug dealer operates out of here.
Oh, for
we can
sure.
Bring him for sure.
Yeah.
And we'll have a good old time.
Yeah.
As I was flying in last night looking out over some of those container ships, I just wondered. I was like, man, how many illicit things are being smuggled into?
No kidding.
Right there. I'm looking at one of those container ships. There's one of those containers probably has a couple of illegal vehicle imports.
It's beautiful.
And we got another one that's just got, we've got a bunch of seat cushions that have keys of Coke jammed into them.
Do you see Spo just left? Spo just walked out the door, man. He's on his way to go get audio over. At the stadium,
the clubhouse.
Yeah, man.
At the Cacti Park.
Hi ho, hi ho! It's off to work, Spo. Go.
So yeah. Today, if there is a game, we'll be over there.
Yes.
If there's not a game, we'll be swimming in the pool in the rain.
We had a lot of people want us to follow through on the old timey scout. Kind of narrative we were creating last Friday. So I got to get on Amazon today and order some gear.
You already brought one thing.
I brought binoculars with me.
You could use those anyway, obviously.
Yeah,
you
got
to check out John Singleton. I'm Googling him.
Dude, there's
going to be... doesn't see me looking at him.
The body takes are going to be awesome at this spring training, for sure, with Singleton.
There's a list of cliches that the Athletic did about spring training that we can go over later.
Okay.
I don't think I added it to the list.
Okay, but save it.
I was going through and thinking about, like, okay, showing up in the best... It's the best shape of my life. I feel like with Singleton... It's not a cliche with him. He definitely
doesn't look like
he's been transformed.
Yeah, man, he looks good.
And usually when guys make a big body type transformation, I'm skeptical if they've already been playing well.
Mm-hmm.
With Singleton, obviously there's room for growth.
Yes,
and that growth might come by shrinking. By actually getting smaller.
Well, we had somebody say on the text page, like, are you able to check his eyes?
Yeah,
I know. Just because he's really big doesn't mean that he's going to be able to hit the ball when he swings.
You know, though, but with maybe a little bit more fluidity in his upper body and everything. And it sounds like he gained power despite losing weight. He said he's the strongest he's ever been in the weight room.
Dude, and baseball is such a mental, psychological thing. He's clearly you don't get to be looking the way he does without getting into a better headspace.
Well, if you can get around on the ball a little bit quicker, then you can be a little bit more patient at the plate, and maybe that'll be it'll be the thing that clicks for him.
We're all rooting for him, man.
Yeah.
We're all rooting for him. So speaking of body types, Combine is this week as well. We will keep talking football, too, even while we're here at Astros spring training. They don't start with the drills until, I think, Thursday this week. Everybody's arriving.
Yeah.
Today
they do all their battery of tests and interviews.
The tests, you've been there before. I have not. So when you get there, the first 3 days is all just poking and prodding and talking to teams and things.
It used to be more compressed, and you had to do it all, I think, just in 2 days. Maybe it was however many days it was. It was 3 days, but
like the O linemen are doing their drills on Sunday.
Yeah,
like 7 days from now.
They spread it out a lot more now, so it's not so grueling for people.
Yeah, here's my biggest fear for you, especially after reading Bruce Feldman's 40 freaks article that he had on The Athletic. He has 40 combine freaks that he's looking forward to watching, many of whom are on the list or on our Texans wish list, including Kenneth Grant, who's eighth on the list of his biggest freaks.
I don't think Kenneth Grant, the defensive tackle from Michigan, he's been mocked to the Texans a few times. Getting to the point where I'll be surprised if he's there at 25, just because he played really well this year, and he's also probably going to test really, really well. These mile per hour measurements don't do anything for me. I don't know. I know over 20 is really good for the skill positions, but they did mention that at 340 to 360 pounds, however much he is, he ran a sub 540. Oh, he ran a sub 540 when he first got to Michigan, and that was when he weighed 360. He's lost a little bit of weight over the years, so he showed that discipline. But he ran that
at 360?
Yeah, at 360.
What the hell?
So, and some of the reports I see about him, I feel like they're a combination of how he played 2 years ago and then in 2024, because he really grew as a player. He was more technically sound this past year, and he's just too much of a freak. I don't think he's going to be there at 25.
Yeah, like this will be a week where people fall in love with him, probably. Yeah.
The other good thing, though, too, that gets intriguing, because this is the kind of stuff you get excited about if the Texans draft one of these guys, is that a whole bunch of the offensive linemen that have been mocked to the Texans are also on this freaks list of guys who are going to test really well. So they have upside.
Membu.
Donovan Jackson.
Yeah.
The one intriguing one is Charles Grant, the offensive tackle out of William and Mary, who I think could probably play guard as well, but he's super, super athletic. But he goes to a school like William and Mary, and we know that Nick Caserio
is allergic to FCS guys.
He claims it's just random chance that he doesn't draft any small school guys. But man, I don't know. He's been here 4 years now, and he hasn't had any small school
guys.
He
hasn't. No, I'm looking at the paragraph on this Grant guy. He's a former wrestler too.
Yeah,
I like former wrestlers down in the trenches.
Yeah.
Well, that hand-to-hand combat.
The Patriots had an offensive lineman. I'm blanking on who it was. Who's a college wrestler and was really good for a long time.
Yeah,
so, yeah. For the interior offensive lineman, especially, he's a tackle, but I could see them moving him inside.
Yeah, for sure. I think the three position groups, three or four that the Texan fans are going to be looking at. Wide receiver, they work out on Saturday. The offensive linemen are on Sunday. The running back, I'm kind of keeping an eye on the running backs. I'd like to see the Texans dip into this running back pool. I think it was on our show. No, it was on Texans All Access when John Harris said this is the best running back crop he's seen in a long, long time.
Yeah, which is...
out on Saturday. Saturday's a big day. That's quarterbacks, receivers, and running backs.
That's when the league starts looking at it, and they all think, though, like, oh, there's so many running backs. Why? There's some poor kid that made it getting taken in the first round that this year is going to get taken in the second round because people are like,
everybody's waiting.
Yeah, and we still don't... Yeah. Even though last year running backs kind of made a resurgence, we really don't respect them all that much.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll stick around until the second or third round.
Yeah.
So they might end up getting... I still feel like most people want to go all in on either wide receiver, offensive line, or defensive tackle in the first two rounds.
I agree.
I think
I'm one of them.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you might be disappointed if they use their second-round pick on a running back.
Any two of those three positions with the first two picks.
Yeah, or tight end, too, in the second round.
Tight end, maybe? Yep, tight end. I have not seen Tyler Warren from Penn State mock to anybody except the Indianapolis Colts at 14. Every mock draft, Tyler Warren, 14, Indianapolis Colts.
I hope they get him, and then I hope he sucks.
I do, too.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping.
I really like Tyler Warren, and yet, obviously, he goes to the Colts. I hope he's just awful.
Not if he's a Colt.
Who was that? Who was that stupid white boy they drafted at tight end a few years ago, and then ended up, you went to New Orleans after that, and I hated that howdy doody looking
trying to
piece
pick
of
who
crap.
It would be. Yeah. I'm usually pretty good at this guessing game.
Text in to the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line 713-572-4610.
Hit us up, man. Hit us up.
Who's that white guy I hated?
Shador.
They're all
going to text Trevor Penning because they know that you hate him.
Listeners, I'm white, okay?
Yeah.
All right? Don't be getting all up in your arms about it.
Someone's asking on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, why are all the lights on in the house? Because it's daytime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we just didn't want to, you know, it looks kind of gloomy if we're just sitting here in a dungeon.
That's right, man. That's right. Someone said, they're right. Y'all left the dishwasher open, someone said.
Well, we wanted to know that it's, this is a working kitchen. This isn't just for show.
Yeah, this is where we boss Parker around like he's an intern. Go close the dishwasher, Parker. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. And turn the lights off.
I was, when I walked in last night and you guys had already been here a few hours, I was like, what am I going to be walking into? There's going to be a crazy party.
Nope.
Are they going to be doing shots or anything?
Nope.
Like, no, it's you guys watching basketball.
Three guys with our legs kicked up on these kick-ass recliners, watching some OJ thing on Court TV.
This won't be quite the same atmosphere as when we had pretty much the entire company in New Orleans. This is a small group of, this is basically like the Delta Force.
This is
we come in quietly.
This is the small group that skews more towards homebodies, I think, too.
Yeah, but we're going to have to do something. We might have to manufacture up some drama or some just some crazy practical jokes. I watch the kids on YouTube. Yeah, I watch the Paul brothers. What we have to have is you walking out in the morning and there's an alligator in front of your door or something.
Dude.
And that's how you get clicks, Sean.
I'm a little nervous about that. I'm a little nervous.
About the alligators?
Yes.
Last year you were scared of coconuts.
Yeah.
Or 2 years ago you were scared of coconuts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fallen coconuts.
First thing I checked when we got here, I looked up in the palm trees. I'm like, no coconuts.
And this year you're worried about alligators.
Yeah.
They're not. You really only have to worry about an alligator if you're a toddler or a small dog.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, they're not going to
lose a limb.
These aren't the crocodiles of the Nile. Yeah, unless you're, like, they're not going to go after a human. You're good.
All right.
I remember I used to, when I had friends in Orlando when I lived in Jacksonville that had a boat. And you come down, you go water skiing on those lakes. And sometimes you're going close to the shore where it's all reeds and marsh and everything. And those guys, it didn't bother them a bit. I was terrified. I did not want to fall on top of an alligator.
I've gotten more and more scared of water over time.
Yeah.
Just like, why, like, not, not swimming pools. I'm talking about like wild water, like nature's water. Jameis had me convinced when he was talking about Mike Evans living. When you grow up near water, you're a little different. You know, everything going on in that little pond or lake out there, man. Anything underneath that surface of water, that's their world down there, man.
The snakes scare me more than anything. I'm not worried about alligators. I feel like I could wrestle an alligator. The snakes
are a little tougher to get their arms around.
You don't get any time to wrestle them.
No.
They got their fangs in you, and then you gotta, if they get their fangs in you, you still gotta touch the snake.
Mm-hmm.
I don't wanna touch, I'm not even scared of dying. I just don't wanna touch the snake. I hate snakes.
Kobe Fleener.
Oh, yeah, Kobe
Fleener. Is that the white person you were talking about?
Oh, I hated him. Yeah.
Yeah. He was Luck's tight end at Stanford also.
That's right. So It was Luck.
They went shopping in the
Kobe Fleener.
They went shopping at the white tight end Stanford store. We shop at that store, Dalton Schultz.
Well, that's right. Oh, you know, if I could have had a Kobe Fleener is like Dalton Schultz. But
it's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad. Apparently, Shedeur Sanders is not working out at the Combine. He is going to do all the interviews. And it sounds like to me he's very cognizant that he probably needs to impress some people with these interviews, that there's a lot of chatter about Shedeur, you know, like, not where Shadur's head's at. Like, he's a competitor, obviously, but he operates a little differently than your garden variety college quarterback.
And then Shiloh Sanders, who wasn't invited to the Combine, he's not nearly the prospect that Shedeur Sanders is. He's hiring a company to give him to set official times.
He is?
I guess. And I was reading the article and I didn't quite get it because you guys have pro days. I don't know what, I don't understand why you need to put it out there that you've got an official time.
This is where the rubber meets the road on Shiloh feeling left out of this whole thing.
Yeah.
Because it's been so much about Coach Prime and Shedeur the whole time at Colorado, and Shiloh's been kind of just like lurking in the background. And now
he's like he'd be like if there was a fourth ball brother.
Right. Like the NFL's like, no, you were in the background for a reason, Shiloh.
Yeah.
You're not coming to Indianapolis.
He should start a web series with Cooper Manning.
Yes.
You know.
The third brother or whatever it is. Yeah.
Maybe Shiloh ends up, you know what though? I could see maybe Shiloh, because he doesn't have everything heaped upon him, maybe he ends up having a longer NFL career than his brother.
Maybe.
We had the question, I asked this question a while back of who would you want the Titans to draft? Like, who would you prefer that they draft or acquire? Sam Darnold, Cam Ward, or Shedeur Sanders?
Did we put that to a poll?
We didn't put it to a poll. The answers I got were pretty split. I did it on a YouTube community
I definitely
post.
Want one of the two rookies. Not because I'm scared of Sam Darnold. It's just that's more intriguing. It's more interesting to me.
And there's also more of a chance that whoever they draft by the rookie just doesn't work out as a pro at all.
Yeah.
I'm not even throwing shade at Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. There's a good chance. Whereas Sam Darnold might be an actual headache for a few years, even if he's, if he is what he is, that like, okay, he can play good, credible football like he did last year, but you can't count him in on the crunch.
Yeah.
That's still a pain in the butt in your division.
Yeah.
So I think I at least want to see Sam Darnold. And it's not like Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders are such awesome prospects that they scare me that they're going to be a cornerstone forever. I would much rather see him draft somebody.
I would say Shedeur first, because he's the one that I would really like want to see get humbled a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? And then Cam Ward, and then Sam Darnold. And yet, the more and more mock drafts that come out, and we'll do a mock draft injection in about an hour, the more of them that come out, the more it's like Abdul Carter with the first overall. Like a lot of these mock drafts don't have either of these guys getting picked till like the third or fourth pick.
Yeah.
Which is just weird to me because the Tennessee needs a quarterback and Cleveland needs a quarterback. So they're good enough to get drafted by the Giants at three, but not good enough to get – like, are these prospects – like, Abdul Carter and Mason Graham good enough?
We were talking about this just – you look at the final four this year of the quarterbacks that were. I think that only one of them was a high draft pick that you can find – quarterbacks all over the place these days, and especially in a year where there aren't really highly regarded ones. We've seen the vast majority of times, that ends up being a wasted number one overall pick.
Yes.
And then in a year where you could have gotten an edge rusher or something like that, why did you force it and try to get one of these quarterbacks? You might as well go for a Sam Darnold or somebody else and wait until a better opportunity comes along.
All right, so we got spring training going on. We got combine going on. We got a lot of stuff to get to on the show. Top of the hour. We'll do a deep dive on this spring training and things we're looking for, things we're excited about, intrigued about, maybe a little depressed about with the Astros. We'll do that at the top of the hour. Headlines up next. We'll get you set up for today's hopeful game, fingers crossed, between the Astros and the Marlins. Texans announced their coaching staff on Friday, and I thought There's some interesting wrinkles in there, too. For a staff with very little turnover, some interesting wrinkles there. Rough weekend for the Rockets, at least Saturday was. We'll get into all of that in headlines coming up next.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's start with headlines. We are live in West Palm Beach for Astros spring training all week long here on Sports Radio 610. We're at our Airbnb doing the show. You can watch us on YouTube and Twitch just like normal. And we are getting ready to hopefully go see some baseball. What would be a 12:05 first pitch Houston time for the Astros and the Marlins, and this game would feature Renel Blanco, who finished last season with really good stats. 13-6, 2.8 ERA, had about a strikeout per inning, decent whip, walks, hits per innings pitch. Like, he was very, very solid. And yet, it feels like the more recent impression of Rinel Blanco. Like, he was amazing in the first half. He should have been an all-star.
Well, he should have, right.
In midway through the season, and then he went through a rough patch for a while. Then he seemed to kind of straighten some things out down the stretch. He figured a few things out.
A lot of it was that, you know, those all the advanced stats showed that he was probably pretty lucky, or there was a certain amount of luck heading into the all-star game, and then he kind of settled back into what he should be. But he's also pitching way more innings than he ever has before, and that's the big test for a guy that's still kind of going through that transition of full-time starting pitcher. I'm optimistic about him. I've seen him on a lot of lists of guys that will regress this year. I think from afar, yeah, that makes sense because of the way last year played out. He was struggling after the All-Star break but kind of stabilized.
Yeah.
But I think he's pitching three times as many innings as he's ever pitched before in a major league season. So I'm excited to watch him. I'm glad that it's only about, 75 degrees out there today?
It's nice out there, yeah.
Overcast.
I mean, he'll sweat, but not like, you know, not like a dripping faucet.
That was one of the things he said last year when he started to stabilize, was that he stopped working out as hard in the mornings as he had been. And, for a guy that sweats as much as he does, I can tell you from experience, Sean.
You're a sweater.
Yeah, and it wears on you, man. You sweat all that, and then you go out and sweat for 2.5 hours in a baseball game.
No, he changes jerseys multiple times in the game. Remember,
he needs some electrolytes.
Remember last year he opened the season with a no-hitter against Toronto? Like, I think the Astros were 0-4 at that point. They got swept by the Yankees to open the season last year.
It was April 1st, if I remember properly. It was very early.
Yeah. So it was, and the headline for that would have felt like an April Fool's joke. Rinel Blanco, no-hitter.
Yeah.
But he did, and it turned out to be that was not phony. You know, like he was very, very good for the Astros.
And then the big topic that everybody's growing more and more intrigued by is that it looks like Jose Altuve in left field is a very real thing.
Yes.
Where he's been spending the vast majority of his time in spring training, and the team isn't committed about it, but it makes sense that that's what they're doing.
Well, the pursuit of Nolan Arenado would seem to be, which they're open about, like the pursuit of Nolan Arenado would seem to indicate that Altuve's future is in left field with this team, because if they get Arenado, Paredes goes over to second base.
So we will possibly see that. They had said at the end of last week, they said it won't be this week, but they're saying that at the end of the week. So I don't know if they mean like the actual calendar week or the next 7 days. We might see him on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. It's interesting, the Astros. We'll dig deeper into this at the top of the hour. It almost feels like they're taking an approach with the re-pursuit of Bregman, the re-pursuit of Nolan Arenado. We had heard others they were looking at. They were looking at maybe getting Jorge Polanco to play second base and move out to the. It almost feels like, Seth, they're doing a version of an NFL team just trying to get its five best offensive linemen out there. They're just trying to get their nine best hitters or at least their six or seven best hitters into the lineup in any way, shape, or form they can do it.
Yeah.
And if there need to be some sacrifices made defensively, because Paredes is not viewed as a guy who is a real good prospect to play second base for this team. He's a third baseman or first baseman by trade, or even an outfielder before second base. It feels like there is a real conscious effort to avoid having spots 7, 8, and 9 in the lineup just be dead spots,
which they
feel kind of like right now.
And Cam Smith, who knows what happens with him this year? He played at every level of the minors last year for the Cubs and looked very good. And we know that Dana Brown is not hesitant to pull guys up into the majors. So that's a wide open and clean slate. The DeZenzo moving to the outfield, potentially Bryce Matthews getting work at second base. Those younger guys are really intriguing, and especially on this team where there's more opportunity than there's ever been.
This compared to the spring training you and I were at 2 years ago, this is a way more intriguing young guy, like young player, young prospect camp, because some of these guys might see the field this year. You know, that was a very veteran team that we went and covered 2 years ago. They just won the World Series. We were there to watch Abreu 2 years ago. Jose Abreu 2 years ago.
The crazy thing about this is that you lose Bregman. Oh, Sean. Well, we'll talk about this aspect, the thing that made me miss Bregman. But you lose Bregman.
Him going
Bregman leaves.
3-for-4 yesterday?
Nah, well, there was that, too.
The home run?
His notoriously slow starts don't start until the regular season.
No,
okay, Sean?
You're right.
Yeah, stop trying to. So the infield, other than, you know, once every 5 days when clearly Lance McCullers will be starting, the infield is bereft of anybody from 2017 now if Altuve is playing left
field.
Yeah,
that's true.
This will be the first time where none of those guys, and I'm obviously joking somewhat about Lance McCullers' durability, but, I mean, all of the non-pitchers are gone from the infield now.
It is, man. And yet here they sit still, you know, they're probably the favorites to win the division, if not right there. I think, you know, it's going to be fun, man. We'll see. Hopefully a game today. The weather's a little sideways outside, but hopefully we got some game stuff to come back and report with you guys. Be following us on all of our social media platforms for Sports Radio 610, Twitter, Instagram, et cetera, all week long. We'll have you guys immersed. We'll be popping stuff on there during the games while we're out there and whatnot. Meanwhile, the Texans announced their coaching staff on Friday, I believe, Friday or Saturday. And the optics of this are interesting, Seth, that ultimately, you know, for a team that had one side of the ball that massively underperformed, right?
Yeah.
Compared to what we expected. That's why Bobby Slowick got fired. At the end of the day, the only two people that change off of this staff are Bobby Slowick, who is now replaced by Nick Caley, and Chris Strouser, who's replaced by an internal promotion in Cole Popovich. And we can say what we want about that. They brought another John Carroll guy in and Jerry Schaplinski as a senior offensive assistant. And there's ties with the Patriots with, you know, certain things and whatnot. The optics to me are, wow, when you see that none of the other offensive coaches have changed. Same tight ends coach, same quarterbacks coach, same running back, same wide receivers coach, same Bill Lazor still on the staff
as a
senior offensive assistant. It sure does. The optics are they are putting all of the failures on the front porch of Bobby Slowick and Chris Strouser.
And I know some people are skeptical of this. And I listening to Ron, was it just Ron and Tyler on Friday? Was Clint not in there?
Luke Morrow was in with them too.
Oh, it was Luke Morrow. Okay, gotcha. Ron was really kind of raising an eyebrow about, like, okay, apparently it was all Bobby Slowick. I would say from personal experience, I've been in a situation the year before the Texans started in 2001. I was with the Jaguars. Dom Capers had been our defensive coordinator the year before and had done a pretty damn good job of it. The 2 years prior to that, especially, we were one of the better defenses in the league. But we lost Dom Capers. They kept all the same staff except they brought in Gary Moeller, the former Michigan coach, as a defensive coordinator. And it was bad. He was not an NFL defensive coordinator. Great guy. Awesome guy. Loved his speeches, but he just flat out didn't know what he was doing. He'd only been in the NFL for a couple of years since he had a little bit of an incident at Michigan. And it was really, really bad to the point where the assistant coaches, like my D-line coach, John Pease, a longtime NFL guy and super smart, you could see John Pease, the assistant coach, just gritting his teeth in meetings. And he was trying real hard to not be a bad employee, but, like, Moeller was screwing stuff up bad. And I wonder if it was like that in the offensive meeting rooms last year. It potentially could have been that bad that you wonder, how do you make the assistant defensive line coach or offensive line coach the head offensive line coach? There's times where the coordinator is doing such a bad job that, and there's nothing the assistants can do about it. They're trying to coach guys up to do things that don't make sense, and that it's hard to have the right technique when you're being asked to do something that doesn't make sense. It might have been that ugly with Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, I mean, that's at least, again, that's what the optics look like with them. They kept everybody except those two guys in the end with a brand new offensive coordinator. When one of the positions is one where that guy theoretically, if Nick Caley were coming here, he has some say-so, and who's working for him chose to keep all those guys.
That was the time I realized that no matter how smart people are, they're very susceptible to pep talks. Because Gary Moeller could give a hell of a pep talk, especially about physicality. And I think that scratched an itch for Tom Coughlin. And Tom kind of lost himself and hired a guy based on a pep talk.
I got the Michigan job at one point. You know what I mean?
Like, he's good at Michigan. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But he's a good salesperson is what I'm
saying.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, it's ADs, athletic directors. They can be easily swayed, too, with a good pep talk.
Tried to give the officer a pep talk when he got pulled over for that DUI. He's driving like 15 in a 45.
Didn't work. He needed better material. All right, Rockets over the weekend win on Friday against Minnesota. That was fun. Jalen Green out-dueling Anthony Edwards in the fourth quarter in a win over the Timbies. Saturday, not as much fun. A brutal loss to the Utah Jazz. A bad Jazz basketball team outscores the Rockets 37-25 in the fourth quarter of that game. Depleted Rockets. No Fred VanVleet. No Tari Eason. No Steven Adams. No Jayshon Tate. So not exactly a skeleton crew, but they were missing some key pieces. VanVleet and Eason, to be specific. All right, those are your headlines. All right. Let's get you guys ready for spring training. We are here at West Palm Beach. We're going to be out at the ballpark today, weather permitting. Three things that Seth is amped up about, three things he is intrigued by, three things that depress him about the Astros. I'm excited for this. So we'll do that. We'll go through those. Let's compare notes to yours as well. Text in 713-572-4610. That's the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.